It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Let's bring in Adam Lefko. He covers the NBA, TNT Inside the NBA guest host, also covering the draft as well for Bleacher Report. Lefko, let me start with that. Let me start with the season-long Dunk of the Year award. And then
yeah, I don't like it.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Thanks for joining. Wait, why don't you like the dunk contest? Is actually a dunk in a contest called a game?
Because why are we trying to kill this thing so fast? Like, we had one bad year where Cole Anthony took like 20 minutes to tie his shoes, and suddenly it needs to be completely imploded and fixed.
Yes.
I will say, I asked the commissioner, why don't we just give them like $1 million? And he was like, that's not going to get it done. And I was like, he's like, people are worried now about embarrassment. And it does stink that we got guys like Anthony Edwards that are like, I'm never going to do the dunk contest. Yeah. But there has to be a way to incentivize, either through fear or intimidation.
Yeah, but John Morant's not going to do this, Lefko. Now I get John Morant in the dunk contest, even though he's not going to be in a contest. He just dunked in the game.
Man.
This is an entire year. Oh, my God, did you see that? Is that the dunk of the year?
Yeah, but we already asked that question, Dan. Like, that happened last night. They're like, dunk of the year? Like, Paulie said that, and I started thinking about Anthony Edwards' dunk over that dude on the Raptors. And I was like, ooh, it's pretty competitive. House of Highlights does this. It's the moment of the year, dunk of the year, all that stuff. I'm sorry that I came in raining on your parade. I bet you guys were having a great morning.
We were.
Yeah, I kind of messed that up.
Yeah.
But I still don't like the idea.
Okay. I love the idea. I do.
You like bad ideas. That's why you were going to have me on as a guest.
Yes, that is true. Chris Middleton not playing is a big deal, Lefko.
I think the Celtics are going to the finals.
Okay.
I got to sit right behind where the media sits for Game 4, and I'm watching Celtics Nets, and I'm looking at the size of the Celtics, and I'm watching Ime Udoka. And I'm watching this dude have nonverbal communication with Marcus Smart from across the court. They're doing this, and Smart's like, oh, yeah. And then I'm looking at Steve Nash, and he's looking at his assistants, and it was a complete divide.
So he's doing hand signals to Marcus Smart where Steve Nash was not really communicating.
Dan, there was one part in the fourth quarter where Goran Dragic looked back at the bench and yelled something at Steve, like, I need to know what we're doing here. And Steve Nash looked at him blankly, and I love Steve Nash, and then looked at his assistants and then turned around and kind of put his hands up. And Goran Dragic kind of threw his hands like, I'll figure it out myself. And then I'm watching the Celtics bench. Dan, every free throw, Ime Udoka has Derek White and Marcus Smart. It looked like he had the chess move for every single play. But I'm looking at the Bucks team and I'm going, so you don't have Chris Middleton and you don't have PJ Tucker like you did last year. Who's guarding Tatum?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Drew Holiday. Okay, then who's guarding Smart? They're missing two of those huge middle pieces now. That's all the Celtics are 6'7" versatile guys. And the Bucks now don't have enough of them.
But I thought Kyrie and KD are the coaches. So why wasn't Goran Dragic looking to Kyrie and saying, Kai, what are we doing down the stretch here?
It felt like Kyrie and KD were like, we're going to figure this out on our own. That's why it was so impressive to watch KD in person on Monday night, because it was just him going, I'm going to find a way to get to the basket. But yeah, no, look, Ime Udoka was the lead assistant for the Nets last year. Maybe he knew all the things that they were planning to do anyway,
yeah. But
the Celtics beat the heck out of the Nets every time they played this year. And Ime Udoka, I really think, Dan, is going to be up for coach of the year for the next decade. And it's a few reasons. One, the way that I see him patrol the sideline. Two, his connection with players is unlike any coach that I've seen. And three, he's from the state of Akwa Ibom in Nigeria, which is where my wife is from. And they don't lose. I mean, he gets to coach the Celtics. She ends up with me. Both big winners.
You feel like a play-in game, though, for your wife.
There are times where I look over and I go, I am the Charlotte Hornets, and this is going to end poorly. Yeah. Early exit, but boy, are they exciting.
Potential. You got a lot of potential.
Yeah. I just need to act on it, and we'll be fine.
Help me understand what Doc Rivers said yesterday. I'm going to play a portion of this, but he's defending his past playoff exits. Here's Doc Rivers.
Well, it's easy to use me as an example, but I wish y'all would tell the whole story with me, all right? My Orlando team is the eighth seed. No one gives me credit for getting up against the Pistons who won the title. That was an eighth seed. Go look at that. I want you to go back and look at that roster. I dare you to go back and look at that roster, and you would say, what a hell of a coaching job. Really. I mean, the Clipper team that we lost 3-1. Chris Paul didn't play in the first two games and was playing on one leg. And we didn't have home court. And then the last one, to me, is the one we blew. That's the one I said, we blew that. And now it was in the bubble. And anything could happen in the bubble. There's no home court. Game 7 would have been in L.A., you know. But it just happens. So I would say with me, some of them is I got to do better always. Always take my own responsibility. And then some of it is circumstances happen.
This sounds like an exit interview.
Sounds like to me, Dan, meme fatigue. This is a man who has seen the memes. Oh, this is what Doc Rivers does. He loses 3-1. He loses 3-0. This is, again, the same time of the year where all year last year he was defending Ben Simmons and he was saying he's fine, he's our guy. And then right around this time of the year, he went, I don't know if he can win a championship. And all of that good stuff got forgotten. It's something about this time of the year where Doc just kind of lets it go. But it sounded like he had enough. I am a top 15 coach of all time, according to that thing that came out earlier this year for top 15 coaches, top 75 players. Look at my resume. I'm tired of the memes.
Yeah, but Doc is beloved by the media.
Is he?
He got coach of the year for an Orlando team that went 41-41 that didn't even make the playoffs. I think he should be criticized even more than he's been criticized. Nobody has lost more 3-1 leads. He could lose a 3-0 lead. You know, there's a common denominator with all of this. We love Doc, but the results don't back up him. If he loses in this round, are the Lakers on the phone when the buzzer sounds that they lose to Toronto, and then they're going to bring Doc in to coach the Lakers? Right?
What you just did right there was a masterclass of radio hosting. That you took one story and then you put the Lakers on it, which just like inflates it tenfold.
I'm gonna put the Cowboys in there too, somehow.
If, you know what? And if they can use some Yankees, that would be awesome.
And Tom Brady, what's Tom Brady think of Doc Rivers blowing 3-1 leads?
I don't know if like how beloved Doc is. I also thought it was pretty disrespectful to Hadou Turkoglu, Rashard Lewis, and Dwight Howard, and that whole crew.
Yeah, the Orlando team. I mean, when he says, look at that roster. Look at that roster. Okay.
Like, that was one of the most fun teams that I remember. But also, like, the coach of the year, like you were saying, like, we love them. They're only 41. We have this weird fascination with coach of the year where we love to reward the coach that took a team from bad to average instead of a team from good to great. Yet we give a most improved player to Ja Morant. Like, that made no sense to me at all. No offense, Ja. You're a great, great dunk of the year. You should win $1 million, according to Paul. But with Doc... I don't think Doc gets any credit for the Celtics championship, really. Like, I feel like it's, oh, that was a big three.
You're right.
You know?
You're right.
And so I don't feel like he gets the high end of praise, but I actually think that he's only remembered for this. He's only remembered for blowing these leads. And I also want to say, I mean, Joel Embiid did tear a ligament in his thumb. It's not like it's just a collapse because of bad coaching. Like, Embiid's out there playing with one hand.
Yeah, I know, but guys have, you know, you said Chris Paul was on one leg. Chris Paul averaged like 21 points and 10 assists in that series. So he still played well. Hey, we lost in the bubble, but hey, in the bubble. Okay, everybody was in the bubble.
See, Doc's not a clutch client, and that's why I'm thinking Mark Jackson could be the coach of the Lakers because he's a clutch client.
Mm. We're talking to Adam Lefkoe. By the way, don't be bitter, be better. All right?
That's nice.
Yeah. I just made that up. That sounds like that's a t-shirt.
Really?
Yeah. Don't be bitter. Be better. Adam Lefkoe.
That's like Shaq said to me one time. I was like, Shaq, you know, you're a hater. And he goes, I'm too great to hate. And I was like, what? And he was like, I'm too great to hate. I'm just great. And so what I say, and I was like, man, I'm put that on a t-shirt. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Adam Lefkoe, TNT Inside the NBA guest host. And also covering the draft for Bleacher Report. Give me the draft prospect not being mentioned as a top 10 pick that will haunt GMs for years to come.
Okay, Dan, let me ask you a question. These last few drafts, all I ever hear about is position importance. Got to get your quarterbacks, got to get your tackles. But there's always a guy taken in the teens that when we do a redraft, we go, how did this guy fall? And it's always the same position. Oh, Aaron Donald goes 11. Fletcher Cox goes 14. Haloti Ngata goes like 12 or 13. It's always the defensive tackle that nobody cares about. And then we look 5 years and they're dominating the league. How is Jordan Davis not being talked about more? How do we talk about a guy all year and say he is the biggest dude we've ever seen? He's got the fastest 40. He jumps the furthest. He's on the national championship. He's dominating offensive lines, but he can only play two downs. First of all, how many downs are there? There's three, right? So he's playing 66% of downs, which sounds pretty good to me. But two, you're telling me, I just watched Vita Vea, also taken 14th in his draft, dominated D-line and completely arrest defenses all year for the Bucks. It just doesn't make sense to me sometimes when a dude jumps off as an athlete, he's dominant on the field. Everyone says he's a leader in the locker room, but the NFL is all about passing. Really, Kyle Shanahan's entire offense is built around the running game. And that's why we call him the crown prince of offensive coordinators. I think that when we look back 5 years from now, all the teams that passed on Jordan Davis will regret it. And right. It will be obvious.
All right. There's a hot take. All right. Well, we'll record that, play that back in 5 years. Nobody loves defensive tackles, nose tackles like I do. No one.
Really?
No one. Danny
Who's
Shelton.
Your favorite?
Danny Shelton out of Oregon State. Oh, I loved him. I'd come in, you know, you'd see these guys, and I would say to the Danettes, I go, God, this guy's unbelievable. And it'd be a Pac-12 game I'd be watching late at night, you know, and you'd go, oh, Danny Shelton. What did he wear, number 8? something like that. And I went, Danny Shelton's awesome. Browns draft him. And then you're like, eh, whatever happened to Danny Shelton? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but that's not on him. That's on the team that took him. So I'm with you with these defensive, you know, we should be looking for the next Aaron Donald.
You don't tell me the games are won in the trenches.
Yes.
And then completely ignore. Don't talk to it. Like, Dan, you've talked to NFL players and they're like, just watch the trenches. But then like, we're over here being like, you need a shutdown corner. And I'm like, or you could draft Jeff Okuda. Like, we just saw it. Like, I don't know, man. Sometimes it just seems crazy.
Give me the name that you're struggling with that you might have to pronounce covering the
Dude,
NFL draft.
I'm so nervous. So we're doing the NFL draft. Bleacher Report's going to be in the BR app tonight, and it's on YouTube. Me, Connor Rogers, Mike Felder, and then we're going to be joined by Jason Kelsey, Richard Sherman to give analysis. Torrey Holt, Amon St. Brown. I went online and was like, 2022 draft pronunciation guide. Let me just crank this all out in one spot. And it doesn't exist. And so it's not that there's a guy. All I'm hearing from draft people is there could be guys taken in the first round that we don't even have until day three. And I haven't even looked at them yet, Dan. So there's guys that are going to come out of nowhere that I'm just going to go, look at the linebacker taken by the Ravens. You know?
No, but that's where you go to the analyst. That's where you go, wow, that's what did you think of that pick by Carolina? Let them pronounce the name.
It's a beautiful thing when you realize the limitations of your own job and that in the end, all I have to do is ask a question.
Well, when I covered the NBA draft, I kept thinking Nicholas Skidishvili is going to be coming up. And I'm thinking, and I think he went 5 overall. So I'm thinking already, you know, the commissioner comes to the podium and, you know, with the 4th pick, the Portland Trailblazers take Brandon Roy. And I'm thinking, all right, Brandon Roy, blah, blah, blah. All right, talk about it, Billis and everybody else. And I'm going, when is Nicholas Skidishvili going to be taken? And the Denver Nuggets select Nicholas Skidishvili. And then I thought, I don't even have to say his name. So I went to Billis. I go, what do you think? What do you think of the pick? And then he goes, Skidishvili is a really talented, you know, he's a 7-footer, run the floor. So you don't have to say the names.
Exactly.
The commissioner does, and then your analysts do.
Man, like I come on here and I get these just beautiful pieces of sage advice every single time. But like,
just remember, you're John Stockton.
I know.
You're John Stockton. That's your role. You don't have to be Karl Malone. You're John Stockton.
You'll like this story. So one time when it gets late at night for TNT Tuesdays, sometimes we'll record like the last segment of the show. If it's like everything's done, the games are done and all that stuff. And I have notes that I'll work on all week of like little gems and stuff that I want to work in there. And one time I forgot my sheet and they were like, hey, we're going to do the 50s. And I was like, oh, let me run back and get it really quick. And Shaq looks at me and I get up and he puts his hand on my hand, his bear claw, and I'm stuck to the desk. And he goes, you don't need it. And I was like, no, I need it. Cause I know he just wants to shoot it and get done with it. And he goes, no, you don't need it. And I was like, no, man. Like I wrote down like a lot of stuff I want to say. And he goes, you're Adam freaking Lefko. You don't need it. And the thing is I know that he was just trying to convince me so that we could just get it done, but it hit so hard that I was like, I'm Adam freaking Lefko. And he's mind control worked. And I just made stuff up.
All right. Well, don't screw it up tonight. Okay.
You know what? That's the advice I need.
Yeah.
Defensive lineman dunk contest of the year. Okay. I learned a lot today. This is good.
You're a play-in game in regards to your wife.
That didn't need to be repeated. She's right in the other room. That could have gone bad. We're keeping it a secret, Dan.
Keep your head up. You're the guy in Wide World of Sports who goes tumbling down the, you know, over his skis.
100%.
The Wide World of Sports. 100%. Thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, and that guy is like tumbling down the mountain. That's you.
I'm a human blooper.
Yes,
I'm a hooper.
Keep your head up.
I'll try.
All right. Thanks.
Love you guys.
Thank you, Adam.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddy as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team. A driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two, because as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Daniel Jeremiah's got a lot of things going on. He's taking time for us. He's one of the most respected analysts that you have covering the NFL, NFL Network analyst. Also works for the Chargers on radio. You can follow the NFL Network's coverage of the 2022 NFL Draft from Vegas tonight. Kicks off at 8 Eastern, first round with your host, Rich Eisen. Daniel Jeremiah joins us. Daniel, thanks for joining us. The team you're most curious about tonight is...
Well, I'm going to say the Texans, Dan. Nobody knows anything about this draft period, but like you really know nothing about the Texans in terms of what they can do. So we assume we're going to see some combination of Walker Hutchinson, 1-2. There's some buzz. Maybe Thibodeau gets in the mix there at 2. But at 3, literally, they could go in any direction. Nobody has a clue what the Texans are going to do.
And I wondered if, you know, they take a flyer on Derek Stingley that high.
You hear that. Yeah, you hear that. I mean, that's one of the things you hear. I'm always just skeptical, and I give Houston the same treatment that I give the Patriots, which is you can say you're hearing something, but when somebody never talks, it's literally impossible to hear something.
Well, it's like we're trying to figure out what we think they could be thinking without hearing from anybody.
Exactly.
Give me the player that is dangerous as far as, boy, it could be feast or famine. It could be Hall of Fame or bust.
Well, I think you just hit it. I think Stingley is the interesting one because, well, you know, we've said it throughout this process, Dan. You go back to 2019, he was unbelievable. A little bit of lock, top five pick. He was outstanding. And I know this last year, let's just talk about 2021. Well, I'm going to throw that completely out. I kind of dinged him on that initially. The UCLA game was not good. It was terrible. And then you find out he hurts his foot a couple of games later, and then he's done for the season. Well, I found out after the fact that foot had been bothering him since August. So I'm going to throw out 2021, but then I go back to 2020, and that's the in-between season. And he was not a great year in 2020. Devontae Smith, you know, went off against him. That's a real legit receiver. And that's part of the deal playing in the SEC. You're going to see real big time dudes, but you know, that's something that's concerning. You're going to take a guy up there in the top five, and there's some tape out there that's not great.
Yeah, I loved him as a freshman. I said to Coach O, you know, he could win the Heisman. You could have him play offense and defense. I mean, I thought that highly of him. And then I thought, you're going against Jamar Chase in practice every day. Yeah. How could you not be ready for this moment? But, you know, Sauce Gardner of Cincinnati feels like that's a safer pick, smarter pick. Let me get to the Jets and the Giants. You have two picks each in the top 10. What direction would you go? Let's start with the Jets.
Yeah, with the Jets, you know, they need difference-making players, like some skill position players. I'm all for building up the line of scrimmage. You know, go get your offensive lineman. I'm into that. But, Dan, if you tried to pull the normal average football fan of who the starting right tackles were for the two teams in the Super Bowl last year, I don't think they'd tell you. To me, you've got to have some guys that can make plays on the football offensively or defensively. So Sauce Gardner, to me, he can take the football away. He gives them a pure number one corner. And you kind of look about how they could change their defense. They go out and sign DJ Reed in free agency, who's a good corner. Now you bring in Sauce Gardner. So last year, you know, Bryce Hall is your number one corner. Now he's your number three corner. Now you've got depth all the way down through that secondary. So that would be the first area I would look with that first pick. And then the second pick, you know, I'm trying to help out your quarterback. You know, if you can get Garrett Wilson, that's the home run pick for me if he gets the 10. If not, Drake London gives you a little something different with some size to help out your quarterback. So that's the area I would go with the Jets. And then when you look at the Giants, you know, I can make a case they should go offensive lineman receiver. They have a lot of needs. You can go in any direction. So if you have your choice, why not just build up one side of the ball, get a fair evaluation on Daniel Jones, figure out this next year if he's the guy or not, and then you can move forward as an organization.
It feels like if somebody's moving up, they're moving up to take a wide receiver.
So I think there's a chance that Philadelphia tries to come up for Garrett Wilson. I think there's a chance that Houston could try and come up for Garrett Wilson. I wouldn't sleep on the Saints. You know, I was talking to a GM last night, Dan. He brought up a great point, which is, are we all just taking the Saints at their word? You know, they made that weird trade with the Eagles, you know, for a pick in the middle of the first round, you know, weeks in advance of the draft, which just is one of the more odd trades that you're ever going to see. And, you know, I did my mock draft last night and I had him taking, I had him taking a receiver and a tackle. And this GM said, how does it make sense that you part with a future one and a future two so that you can come away with a receiver and a tackle? That just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. So that's kind of one of the intriguing teams to follow tonight. Maybe they've been sandbagging us. Maybe they are going to take a quarterback.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, if I was in a position of being a GM or an owner, I'm not going to tell anybody anything. I'm not going to be truthful to the media. Now, somebody in-house may leak some information, but I would never tell the media, like Carolina, hey, you know, we told Sam Darnold we may take a quarterback. Okay. I wouldn't tell. Like, what's the benefit of saying that unless you think somebody's going to go, oh, if we want a quarterback, we better go and jump in front of Carolina.
So true story. I was talking to some teams picking in the top 10 and literally within 1 hour, they told me, hey, you know, I think the Carolina Panthers would like to move up ahead of the Giants to guarantee they get the first tackle. And then within an hour, a report came out that they have let Sam Darnold know that they might take a quarterback. In other words, like, hey, just know we might take a quarterback. We might really do it. And then maybe somebody jumps in front of you. Then guess who would fall to them if somebody took a quarterback right in front of them, the tackle?
Yeah, I don't believe anything. There's a quarterback bet we have in-house here. Paulie, my producer, okay, says that there will be at least one quarterback taken in the first 13 picks.
I'm going to say no, but in a year where we don't know anything, I wouldn't say my confidence level is high. I think there's I wouldn't sleep on the Saints potentially, where they are with those two picks in the teens. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think there's a high probability that they take one, but I 6, 8, and 9, Panthers, Falcons, Seahawks. I don't think they're going to do it.
Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst, NFL Network's coverage starts tonight at 8 Eastern, first round. If Jordan Love was in this draft, where would he rank?
Oh, my gosh, Dan, we're going in the way back machine here. Just talent and tools-wise, I think he'd probably be, I think it would be a fun discussion with him and Malik Willis, just in terms of guys with, kind of some impressive raw tools. And Malik Willis could be the first quarterback taken, so he'd have been right there in the mix. Now, it's been a long time since he was coming out, and I don't think his value's gone up at all with the little bit that we've seen him play. It's gone down more than anything else. So, this Jordan Love version now would probably be in the, the 3 or the 4 hole.
Okay, but I was wondering about this, and we were discussing this as a group prior to the show. If you're a team that has a 3rd, 4th round pick, and you didn't get the quarterback you wanted in the 1st or 2nd round, and you just called up the Packers and said, hey, we'll take Jordan Love off your hands.
It's worth a flyer. It's worth a flyer, but man, I would have liked to have done that a little earlier, just because you're all the benefits of the rookie contract you're getting ready to expire before too long on Jordan Love as you get further down the road.
But he's not even 24 yet, Daniel.
No, you've got some raw tools to work with and develop. So you've got an opportunity there. I love it. Why we're talking an agent? Where does my guy go? I don't know. I don't know where he goes. Those are the text messages that come in on the morning, Dan. But I think it's a legit point. If you can part with a 4th round pick and take a flyer on a quarterback if you don't have one, why not?
And then you got Deebo Samuel. You got Baker Mayfield. Who's more likely to be traded this weekend, Deebo or Baker?
The Deebo thing's been a roller coaster. I mean, from being told there's no chance that happens to, they would do it if it was the right price. And then you hear, oh, my gosh, the price they're asking for is ridiculous. I mean, they want 2 ones. There's no way they're getting 2 ones.
Oh.
And then it was, it doesn't look likely as where we are right now that's going to happen. And then the Baker thing, I think that's going to probably be determined on what happens in the 1st round. If these teams all pass, then I think there's more of a likelihood that something with Baker gets done by the end of the draft. But they're going to have to eat a lot of money, Dan. They're going to have to eat a big chunk of that thing.
Yeah, but they got to move on, because it can't help. You're bringing in Deshaun Watson, who's already polarizing. Then you can't have Baker in camp.
I don't think there's any way that he is there in camp. It's just a matter of whether it actually happens during the draft or whether it's a little bit after that.
Great to talk to you. Have fun tonight. I'll try not to text you.
Oh, no, Dan, I love the text, man. Are you kidding me?
I know, but I try to be professional, because when I told people that I text you when you were on last time, and then they're like, is that being professional? And I thought, maybe it's not. So,
no, I mean, I've got literally the best life coach in media. So, I mean, why would I not tap into that resource?
I'll do? I'll text you during the commercial breaks.
Okay, that's great. And by the way, for Fritzy, there's some defensive ends in this draft where we say, they've asked him to read, they've asked him to think. They're better off when you just cut them loose and put them on the edge. No responsibilities, just go. Mm. That's Fritzy's role on the show.
Wow. So an edge, is he my Kayvon Thibodeau?
No, I was going to say more like a guy like Boye Mafe, who at Minnesota, they ask him to do a lot of things. He goes to the Senior Bowl, they just widen him out and tell him to get up the field, and he wrecks shop at its best. Reed is a 4-letter word, Fritzy.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay.
That's helpful advice. Did he call me wide just there?
I think he said wide.
He took a little shot there. I need to lose about 20, 25, but come on, it's draft day. It has nothing to do with that.
And Daniel, can we have
– bad body, good player.
Could we have a high motor attached to a black player tonight instead of just Aiden Hutchinson? Can we do that? Because I think Thibodeau has a high motor, just –
Okay.
Yeah.
So see, I would say Trayvon Walker has a higher motor.
See?
So I might go that first pick right out the gate.
I like that. If you say, you know what I love about him, he got a high motor. That's all.
I love it.
Yeah, it's good.
I love it.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy.
And I'm going to say that Garrett Wilson's just gritty and an overachiever.
Oh, I like that.
That will be good.
Thank you, Daniel.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Allen Iverson set to join us. Hall of Famer, member of the 75th anniversary team, joins us on behalf of PointsBet. Provides the deepest slate of pregame and in-play betting options in the world. He's been an ambassador since the brand's launch in 2019. We'll talk about your tattoos coming up in a moment, but thanks for joining us, AI. It's been a while. What do you miss most, football or basketball?
Oh, man. It's been, I don't know, I got a chance to, you know, really play basketball the way I wanted to. So I would say football, definitely.
But what do you miss? Like, I think you've said you would have been a better football player than basketball player. Why do you feel that way?
First of all, it was just my first love. It was the first game that I fell in love with. And I just feel like my versatility, you know what I mean, being able to play so many different positions. And having, you know, I think more of an impact on the game because I was able to play on both sides of the ball.
I wonder if you were born like 15 years too soon. Like if you were coming up now, do you think you would stay with football or try to do both?
I would have definitely tried to do both. You know, just, you know, from the love that I have for basketball and that I've had for basketball since Michael Jordan gave me the vision. I definitely would have tried to play both. I really put in that effort because when I went to Georgetown, I asked, you know, Coach Thompson, could I play football? Because, you know, we had to walk to the gym every day from class, and I always had to pass the football field. And I remember going past the football field, I used to always get emotional and tears would be, you know, coming out of my eyes. And, you know, because I had missed the game so much. And one day I just built up enough courage to ask him, could I play? And I don't think I can, with the language, I don't think I can say what he said. But I never thought about playing again. I knew it wasn't going to happen.
But it made you that emotional.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because I loved it so much. I mean, it was such a big part of my life. You know, just the fact of, how effective I was at it, and I was getting better and better at it. And then when the situation happened with the bowling alley, and, you know, when I obviously I got in that trouble, and when I came home, you know, I was recruited by everybody in the country in both sports, and I had no more offers at all. And my mom eventually went up to Georgetown and begged my life, and Coach gave me a shot, and the rest is history.
If you didn't get into trouble, where do you think you would have gone instead of Georgetown?
I really wanted to go to Notre Dame. I wanted to go to Notre Dame. And then Joe Smith went to Maryland. So I thought about Maryland to play with him. And then I went up to Duke on a not really a visit, but I, you know, went up there and I got to meet Bobby Hurley. Bobby Hurley was my favorite college basketball player.
Really?
You know, yes. So I really wanted to go there because I love Bobby Hurley so much.
Wait, were you rooting for Duke against UNLV?
No. I wasn't a Duke fan. I was a Bobby Hurley fan.
What was it about Hurley that you liked?
His toughness. I just love how tough he was. The small stature. I'll tell you something crazy, Dan. Like when I got to the league, I played against him one time. And I remember his dad being on the sideline, and once again, you know about his language. So, you know, I just remember him telling, telling Bobby to bust my ass and some more stuff that went along with it. And I was like, hey, like, don't even know, you know, how much I love Bobby Hurley. You know what I'm saying? But obviously he didn't. But, yeah, man, I never was a Duke fan. I was definitely a Bobby Hurley fan, though.
How did you react or what did you think when Michael Jordan referred to you as a little bitch, or that first time he saw you, didn't he use that expression?
I don't think that was the first time he saw me. We was at the All-Star game, the year that That had to be my rookie year. It was the year that they gave out. They did the top 50.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah.
And I was. I think I was coming off the court from something, and I saw him, and they were getting ready to go on because he had his jacket on, and he just grabbed me. It's a photo out there with him having me like in a headlock, and he was just like, you know, what's up, you little. But no, there was no disrespect in it. And then I didn't take it that way anyway. I was just happy for him just saying anything to me.
But when you see yourself cross over, Mike, twice, like, it's pretty impressive. Like, what do you think?
I mean, it was against Black Jesus. And I always told my friends growing up, you know, that if I ever got an opportunity to try my move on the best that ever played the game, that I would. And, you know, it was just a moment. It just happened. And, you know, I bagged him up and I did it. And I really didn't know the significance of it when it first happened because I was just into the game, just playing the game. But then in the aftermath of everything, seeing it all on ESPN and, you know, all on the news and everybody talk about it, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I really did something. But, you know, thinking back on it, I had got guys way worse than that, but it was just the fact that it was him. You know what I mean? And the crazy part about it is he still almost blocked it.
I know.
That's the testament of how tough he was and how great he was.
But he didn't say anything to you, did he, after you did it?
Nah. He didn't say nothing to me until years later. I went to because I live in Charlotte, so I went to a Hornets game. And you know, me and him were, I guess it was an area in the back where, you know, he chilled at halftime, and he had me back there and we were just talking. And I just kept telling him how much I loved him and how much he meant to my life and my career. And, you know, telling him I wouldn't have had that vision of playing basketball if it wasn't for him. And he was like, you don't love me that much. You wouldn't cross me like that. And we laughed about it. But what's crazy with him is I get around him. And I've been around him so many times, you know, since the first time I met him. And I still get, like, nervous. I still, you know, just fidgety around him all the time, you know, because I love him so much. And, you know, he's still, like, when I see him, you know, he don't look real. He's like he got some type of a glow about him or something, an aura. You know what I mean? He was the only person in my life that I've ever met, and he don't look human to me.
But there has to be these younger players that look up to you the way you looked up to Jordan.
That's one of the greatest feelings in the world, you know, especially with me being here with my All-American game, you know, with my classic. And, you know, the way they look at me, the way I have their attention when I'm talking. And it's just, it makes me feel like, okay, this how you was, you know, or this how you are with him. And it's just a great feeling to see that, you know, guys grew up off of me and, you know, love me the way I love him. You know, it's just a blessing.
Alan, can you hold on? I got a few more questions I want to ask, including the famous press conference when you said we're talking about practice. We're back with Alan Iverson here on the Dan Patrick Show right after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We talked football. We talked Michael Jordan. Talked about a variety of things with Alan Iverson, kind enough to stay with us here for a few more minutes. Joining us on behalf of PointsBet, which prides itself on speed and ease, the ease of using it, the deepest slate of pregame and in-play betting options in the world. And he's been an ambassador since the brand's launch in 2019. Alan Iverson rejoins us. So what are you doing with PointsBet?
Anything they ask me to do. Definitely. You know what I mean? We have a great relationship. It's been a couple years now. And it's just a great partnership. I don't do a whole lot of betting on games. My you know, my friends do that. You know, they're into it. They do it damn near every day. And I just thought.
Do they ask you for advice, though?
Nah. No, they just, you know, they just use me for who I am.
They use you for tickets and things like that.
I mean, just like everybody else do. You know what I mean? I'm surprised that this many years later after playing that I'm still irrelevant and popular.
Well, you were ahead of your time.
I must have did something right out there.
But you know, you're an iconic figure. It's almost like Randy Moss in football. Like, right. Like you were ahead of your time.
That's a great compliment, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But you know, when you had the tattoos and how people viewed you, and now everybody's got tattoos.
Like, right.
But at the time, did you feel like you were kind of on an island, that it was just?
Yes. That's a great question. And because I kind of took the ass whipping for it, Dan. You know what I mean? And it's kind of bittersweet, because back then I was so young, I was 21 years old, and I didn't understand. I was basically just dressing like the guys from, you know, my neighborhood that I, you know, grew up with, you know, so it was natural to me. And then with the tattoos, it was basically like, you know, I always wanted them, but I just couldn't afford them. And then once I, you know, could afford them, then that's why I just went overboard with it, you know, because, you know, all of my tattoos mean something. And then with the hair, like I would go on the road and guys would mess my hair up when I go to the barbershop. So I thought like, man, if I can just get it cornrowed, then I don't have to worry about, you know, guys messing my hair up on the road. So that's how that happened. You know what I mean? So, you know, with the dress code and all that, you know, I was hurt by it. I didn't understand it or whatever. And, you know, now you see guys wearing whatever they want and you know, looking the way they want. And, you know, I know it's had a lot to do with me, you know, getting the dress code changed. But, you know, it's a good feeling now to see guys express themselves the way they, you know, want to. Because when you look at the game, everybody don't play the same. So why would everybody, you know, look the same? Why would everybody dress the same? You got all these guys in suits. When I grew up, I never went to the park with a suit on to play basketball. You know what I mean? So, you know, the only time that I wore suits was to church and to a funeral. So,
you know, David Stern said, everybody thinks this is the Allen Iverson rule. He said, right, it's really Steve Nash, that he had a problem with how Steve Nash dressed when he went to the press conference as well. So just to let you know, that's the commissioner telling me, because I referenced the Allen Iverson dress code. He goes, Steve Nash, I had a problem with how Steve Nash dressed at press conferences.
Learn something new every day. I did not know that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And God bless him. I mean, me and him became so close, you know what I mean? Especially after my career was over. You know what I mean? The latter part of my career and towards the end, you know what I mean? I got a, you know, great relationship with him. And I'm glad, you know, that it ended up being that way before he passed. May he rest in peace.
What's your best tattoo?
My kids.
Okay.
My kids. My chest.
You didn't get a Michael Jordan tattoo.
No, I was never. I love him to death.
If you had money when you're growing up, would you have gotten a Michael Jordan tattoo?
Maybe when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I knew that would probably be some super corny. I wouldn't have did that. I love him, but not that much.
What do you see when you see Ja Morant?
I see greatness. I see greatness. I see a once in a lifetime talent. I see a lot of myself in him, as far as the fearlessness, him being a competitor, him just being a killer that could change the game in so many ways. I see someone that, you know, his teammates love and they follow and they believe in. I think, you know, when I thinking about him, when I look at the landscape of the NBA and I see all of the things that go on with the, you know, guys teaming up to play with each other. Now, if Shaquille O'Neal became a free agent and wanted to come play with the 76ers, I would have loved for, you know, to play with him or Kobe Bryant. But I never thought about, you know, going to, you know, team up with other guys. I never thought about that, because I always felt like, you know, guys on my squad were good enough, because they pros, Dan. You know what I mean? Like, and I always used to think, you know, about myself and the belief that I had in myself. And I thought, well, damn, if you put me with four other professionals on the basketball court, then we can't be beat. You know what I'm saying? And I used to always like the best feeling that I had as a basketball player throughout my career was the fact that my teammates felt like if they had me in the foxhole with them, that we would have a chance to win against anybody. And I feel like that's how Ja teammates feel about him. You know, as long as we got him, we could win.
But could you have changed your style to preserve your, like, have a little bit more longevity? Because you attacked. And at some point, like, Dwayne Wade attacked and then stopped attacking as much. Michael Jordan stopped attacking him. Could you have changed? And do you think Josh should be concerned about that, attacking all the time?
I don't. I think, you know, if he tried to alter his game, he wouldn't be him. He wouldn't be the guy that he is today. And, you know, I don't have too many regrets. I think probably the only regret that I have in my career is that I didn't listen to Coach Brown earlier. You know what I mean? If I was able to take constructive criticism a lot better and understood that it was constructive criticism and not him just getting on me just because he wanted the same thing that I wanted, you know what I mean? And that was to win. And if I would have let him polish me a lot earlier, I think it would have made me better and it would have made us better. And one more thing, I think me being someone that didn't like to lift weights, I kind of regret that because I think – how much better could I have been if I would have been a lot stronger? You know what I mean? I remember a time with Billy King, we had a new strength and conditioning coach, and Billy King introduced me to him. And I was like, you know, why would you introduce me? We're not going to have any type of relationship. You know, I didn't like to lift weights because I thought they were too heavy. But looking back on it, like
you didn't like to practice either, though, Alan.
Man, that was so off, and that was something that bothered me a lot because I think the way kids look up to me, and the way guys, even guys in the league, look up to me, I didn't never want them to think that wasn't important. And that wasn't the message that I was sending. You know what I mean? There was just that that press conference, and they just kept asking me about the same thing, and I got fed up. And it was just one of those days that I didn't want to talk about that. I was there. The press conference was to tell my fans in Philly that I wasn't getting traded. That was you know what it was about. I just met with Coach and Billy King, and they kept asking me about practice, and I just got frustrated. I mean,
it's still a great line by you, though.
Yeah, but it was interpreted the wrong way.
You can't.
There's no way now. If people do think that I didn't like to practice and I didn't practice, then damn, how good was I? If I didn't practice, I couldn't accomplish the things that I've done without practicing. No way.
You should do one of those NFTs. Of that press conference where you're saying we're talking about practice, and you can make some money off that.
Very lucrative.
Yes, it is. Very lucrative. I was there at game one when you played the Lakers in the finals, and he went off. And I'm thinking, can Philadelphia win four games? I didn't think you guys could win four games against that talent. But what did you think? Would you have 48 against?
I definitely thought that we could win. When we won game one, we had game two. I think Derek hit a big shot on me at the end. I think I didn't get over a screen or I was trying to help or something and he hit a big shot. But we had him in game two as well. But all in all, they were a better team. I mean, may he rest in peace and God bless him, you know, Kobe Bryant. He didn't destroy us, you know what I mean, like he had in the regular season. Shaquille O'Neal beat us. And everybody talked about Dikembe having a great series, but Shaq averaged like 30-something and 15.
Yeah.
And we tried and we couldn't deal with them. But all in all, ultimately, they were just a better team than us. They just, you know, they had the talent, obviously, and, you know, they were just a better team at the end of the day.
What's it like standing next to Shaq?
You ever stood next to a tree? A big tree. You know what I mean?
But that's a tree that moves, AI.
That moves. And will run into you. Not a stationary tree that you have to run into. No, that will run into you. But I be around them now. And it amazes me. Like, I used to actually go in here and have him contest my shots. Like, I must have been out of my mind. That aggressive. You know what I mean? To go in there with him in there.
If you could give me one season right now, would you play for the Nets or the Lakers? You had to pick between those two.
The Nets and the Lakers with the squad they have right now?
Yeah.
Let me see. Was Kyrie? Kyrie was considered a two guard this year, right?
Yeah.
He was considered a two?
Yeah.
I don't know, I would rather, whatever team that I could have played the two.
Well,
you know what I mean, I think with the Lakers, Russ obviously would have been
he would have been the point.
He would have been the point, and then I could be off the ball, and I could guard the point guard. He could guard a two guard, being how big he is, and then LeBron could have played the three. So I think I would probably fit better with the Lakers, you know, being that, you know, Kyrie is being as great as he is. We would have just been too small of a backcourt to try to match up with people.
Could LeBron ever surpass Michael Jordan as the best player, in your opinion?
I would never put anybody before him. I mean, you know, obviously for, you know, personal reasons, because, you know, what he means so much to me and what he meant so much to me in my life and my career. And then I just think, you know, he's the greatest player to ever play. I think LeBron James is the greatest all-around player, you know, that ever played the game. I mean, he's definitely on the Mount Rushmore of basketball, you know, but definitely, you know, him, LeBron, Mike, Kobe, LeBron, Shaquille, and Steph are definitely my all-time favorite.
It's great to talk to you. Hope you're doing well. Could you play 10 minutes a night? Like, if somebody needed you tonight, could you play 10?
No, I probably can play 10 minutes, but they have to be in 1 minute stretch. I don't have to win for that no more, Dan. I'll be 46 in a minute. I mean, 47.
I know.
I'm 46 years old, and in June I'll be 47. So I don't even think about that no more. I get tired shooting jump shots now, man.
Good luck as the brand ambassador there for PointsBet, and great to catch up with you again. Thank you.
Thank you, man. Thank you, man. Big fan, and thanks for having me, man. I appreciate you.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season, on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Cameron-Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian. from The Daily Show.
Join us for Season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.